that I shared with them on camp because I wanted them to understand that we're away and it's fantastic they're away, but now there needs to be something else in our life. We can't just keep coming back to camp once a year. We can't just keep going up to the mountain, if you know what I mean, and encountering God on the mountain and then that's it. We need to have something in our life. We need to know what to do from here. And we read out of Hebrews 5 and it says this, there is much more we would like to say about this. And what he's talking about there is, he's talking about Jesus. Just before we head into Hebrews 5:11, we're talking about Jesus being the high priest. Jesus being who we need to seek after. Jesus being the example for us. So he's talking all about Jesus and then he goes on to say, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And so we read this scripture and we talked about now that we've come back from camp and this moment, there needs to be evidence of growth. There needs to be an example of maturity that we set to the people that don't understand. We talked about coming back and maturing in Christ. And we said there was two really important reasons why we have to mature. It's really important. And we said the first reason, it's important to mature because it proves that God is in us. See, when we mature in Christ, we live by the scripture that says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. And so when we start to live and mature in Christ, we start to live love. We start to have forgiveness. We start to have joy. We start to live with peace. The fruit of the Spirit start to be displayed in our life. And people come up to us and say, I don't understand. You used to do this, but now you don't. You used to be angry, but now you have peace. You used to be sad, but now you have joy. You used to lie, and now you speak the truth. What is it in your life that is causing you to be different? And we say, you know what? It's not me. I can't do it. You saw what I was like. But because now I have God in my life, I'm different. And we give glory to God with our maturity. And the second thing is that it proves that we're in Christ. See, when we mature, we start to become like Christ. See, a few weeks ago, I talked about when we are Australian, when we live in Australia, we become Australian. When we live in Christ, we become Christian, and that's like Christ. So when we live and mature in Christ, one, it gives glory to Him because the things that happen in our life, we can't do on our own. The world is tit for tat, retaliate, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, no? Oh, it is tooth for tooth? I don't know. I don't live by that, so I don't know. And so that's the world's response, and we see it so often when cultures hate each other and they don't even know why they hate each other, but they live by a set of morals and standards that are outside of Christ, where every time you do something to me, I'm going to do it back. And every time you say something bad to me, I'm going to say it back. And so when we live in Christ, we give glory to Him because it's only His empowerment of the Holy Spirit that causes us to live different. And it proves that we are Him because we are becoming more like Him. Now, let me clarify what I mean by in Christ. See, in Christ is when somebody says, you know what, I need to put my faith and my hope in Jesus. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. You take all of your hope, all of your faith, all of your trust, and you put it in Jesus, and that is someone who lives in Christ. We ask Him to cover our sins. We ask Him to forgive us. And we have a repentance, which means a complete 180-degree change in our motivations and desires of life. See, so we're living our life. We're living our life. We encounter Jesus, and we have a 180-degree change in the things that motivate us and we desire in life. and they become like Christ. See, when we're not in Christ, they're all about ourselves. They're ours. Some people aren't evil people outside of Christ. They're just selfish. And when we have this repentance, this encounter with Jesus, we have a complete turning around and we head to be like Jesus. And that's what I mean by being in Christ. When you encounter Jesus and we call it salvation, we ask you sometimes to come down the front to pray a prayer. Sometimes we take you out the back to pray. However it looks, all we're saying is, do you believe in Jesus? Do you want to be in Christ? And once we become in Christ, we have changed our direction and motivation. We head for Christ and we are in Christ. And just like someone who's in Australia, one day you will be Australian. When you're in Christ, one day you will be like Christ. And that's how you know when you're in Christ, because you're heading towards Him. That's how you know you're in Christ, because you give Him glory and not yourself. So we said there were two main reasons why we need to be in Christ. We know now what it is to be in Christ. And then we talked about how to mature in Christ. And again, it's really quick. I'm running way out of time, but I need to get through this. There were three key things to do if you wanted to mature in Christ. One was read your Bible. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. It's kind of important. Because Matthew 4:4 tells us that man doesn't live on bread alone, but on the words of God, on every word of God. And what is your Bible? The Word of God. Fantastic. So one, we need to read our Bible because it's the Word of God. Two, we need to pray. And we see in Timothy, it says, where in 1 Timothy 2, it says, wherever there is worship, a place of worship. And what did you say today on the platform, Pastor Andrew, that worship isn't just one moment when we sing, it's our lifestyle. So in every place of worship, may people, may men lift up holy hands in prayer. So wherever we go, in no matter what situation, in our whole lifestyle, we should be praying. And then we talked about accountability, discipleship, trying to work out which one best describes what I'm talking about. And in Hebrews 10, it talks about being people that pursue encouraging each other and not forsaking fellowship like some have, so we can help each other towards good works. And when we are accountable and we are in a role of discipleship, we fulfill the last commandment of Jesus, which is what? To go and make disciples of all nations. See, when we read our Bible and we pray and we are accountable, we get discipled, we start to mature in Christ, then one day we can go from being discipled to being the disciple, fulfilling the great commandment of Jesus. So if we're in Christ, there are three key things that we need to do to actually go on that journey of maturing. Read your Bible, pray, and be discipled. Be connected. Be locked in to somebody that you can be accountable to help you through the good and the bad. But there's one thing that I've noticed, one thing, right across my years as a pastor, whether it be in a school or in a church, that people who actually do these three things and succeed, and those that don't. And it's one really easy, simple thing, and that's a want. See, when people want to be like Christ, they come, they have this salvation, they realize that their life needs Jesus more than anything else in the world, then they want to be like Jesus, they will read their Bible, they will pray, and they'll be accountable. They will want to do it, even when it's awkward. Even when it's hard, even when it's easier to go out of the church, out of fellowship, when it's easier to watch TV, when those things are easier, they will still commit to them because they want that more than that. And unless we want it, unless you want to be like Jesus, unless you want to be like Christ, you can read your Bible, you can pray, and you can come to church. But when it's cold outside and the seasons are hard, if you don't desire it, what you'll do is do the things you desire most. And if it's being comfortable, that's where you'll be. Comfortable. But if it's desiring Christ and you need to be at church, then it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter how cold it is. It doesn't matter how hard it is. You'll be here. And so our wants drive our decisions. We look at anybody that achieves their goals, anybody that succeeds in what they set out to do. is, and you hear these biographies, I think they're biographies of people telling their own story. And they'll say, wow, tell us about this moment where you won the gold. Tell us about this moment where you did what you set out to do. And they'll say, you know what? Yeah, that's amazing. But back here when I was 10, when I was 12, I saw someone on the TV and I said, I want to do that one day. And then from that moment to that moment, every single decision is based upon their want to be an Olympian or their want to win a gold. And they sit here and they say, I sacrifice going out with my friends. I sacrifice sleeping in. I sacrificed all this stuff so that I could get to this moment. Very rarely does the moment just happen. Actually, it would never just happen. It happens with someone making a decision of what they want. And when they make that decision of what they want, they have to make decisions and sacrifices along the way to get to that want. And see, here's what they say. Like, I look at someone like Michael Jordan. He was knocked back in high school because he wasn't good enough. Did that cause him to stop playing basketball or come back better? Well, everyone knows Michael Jordan, right? He obviously didn't give up. And along the way, we're going to have good and encouraging things happen to us, which will confirm we're on the right path. You'll pray for someone and they'll get healed. You're confirmed you're on the right path. Something will happen and it'll confirm you're on the right path. But what about those moments when it doesn't go according to plan? When you suffer a setback, when you do something you know you shouldn't have done, when you think something you shouldn't have thought, when you don't seem like you're in Christ. Do those things cause you to turn away and want something else? Or are you still so desperate that you want Jesus that what they do is they cause you to come back a better person? You know what? Next time, I refuse to not worship just because I done something last night. I'm going to worship because I need to worship even more. And that process of wanting to be like Christ, the process of sanctification, becoming like Jesus, it has three key things. But if you don't want to do it, if you don't desperately want to do it like your life depends on it, then you will come and you will go. You will come here for a season, there's something that happens, it might be hard, it might be challenging, and you know what, it's easy to go find another church. It's just easier, let's go find another church. Because you that accountability, that discipleship, it's easier to find a new person than it is to stay connected in. I said, what do you want? And we read in Hebrews, I'm going to wrap up really soon, we read in Hebrews about growing, going from milk to solids. But the point, the reality is, if we go to the scripture one more time, got it up on the screen in 1 Peter 2, it tells us that milk actually is good for us at one point. In 1 Peter, it tells us that, so get rid of evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness, there you go. So there's a moment, there's a time when milk is good. Milk is important. And I gave this example to the youth, and I'll give it to you guys. It's very, very hard for me to share this, but I'm going to do it. I graduated high school like mid to late, more mid, but you love me, so we're going to go with late 90s, right? In the 90s, when I graduated high school, everything was baggy. Baggy t-shirts, baggy shorts, no socks, and airwalks. If you didn't have airwalks, you're out. I don't even know if airwalks exist anymore. But they were the shoe you had to wear. But the point was, your hair was long. You, if you were cool in any description, you had long hair. Unfortunately for me, my hair is ridiculously curly. So it started off as an afro. At one point, my email was Afro Boy. So I'm not that old where I didn't have an email. I had an email. Afro Boy. And then it split at the top and I became Sideshow Bob. And then at the height of my powers, at the most coolest I was, my hair curly was to my just touching my shoulder. And when I pulled it straight, it went easily halfway down my torso. It was long. In the surf, I could and the thing hits my back. And
yeah. Believe it or not, that was cool and everyone was doing it.
But now when I go back and visit my mates on the Gold Coast, when I go back and people still dress like that and still have long hair, and yes, some of them do, I don't look at them and say, man, you're so cool. You have just held on to your coolness ridiculously. What do? I say, bro, you're balding and you're holding the ponytail. It's not working out. I look at those guys and I actually say, you need more help than you do encouragement. Like, you know, no one's thinking you're cool now. It's past. The time's done. You need to mature. You need to grow up. Get some clothes that fit. My thought of them when we were just teenagers, like, these are the cool guys. They're it. But now it's not that. People that have held on and they haven't grown up, they're not mature. They're immature. And we look at them and we say, they need help. And I pity them. I don't actually think that's what I want to be like. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, we need to, at first, when we taste the Lord, when we have salvation, crave that milk. Crave it. It's good for you as an infant. When you first come to the Christ, when you first come to your gospel and you start to read it and you don't understand, it's okay to crave milk. But then you need to mature. You need to grow up. If you're sitting in the church and you're still acting like you did the first day you met Christ and you're still talking the same way, you're still thinking the same way, you're still acting the same way, it's time to grow up. And I might be saying something hard to someone, but it's okay because Jesus is your empowerment. When you're in Him, He gives you the strength. But you have to grow up. Because if you're not growing up, you're not maturing in Him. How can you give glory to God if you're still the same? People are going to look at you and say, I don't want to be like that. I thought there was something different. It's time to grow up. How long have you been in church? How long have you been in life group? Are you growing up? The Bible tells us. It tells us that we need to grow up and not be receiving anymore, but to be giving. We can't just keep being about us, but be about others, because we need to go and make disciples. And how can we do that if you're still being taught the immature things? You can't. And so we talked on camp about being a youth group, being a generation to grow up, being a generation that are mature in our thoughts, mature in our actions, mature in the way we conduct life with each other. And we also talked about being a youth group that, sure, there are going to be problems and we're going to fail sometimes. We're going to make bad decisions sometimes. But praying, reading the Bible, and being accountable will help us stay connected to the church and continue to mature. And so this morning, I'm just going to wrap up. I need to wrap up, otherwise I'll keep going. Okay, just one more thing. Well, the band aren't on stage yet, so I assume I got more time. The reason why sometimes we don't want to grow up is because we allow the past, which explains who we are now, to define who we are into the future. You see, we sit here and we say, you know what? I have been broken. I have been abused. I have been lied to. I have lied. I have stolen. I have done all these things. And all of those things explain who you are and why you sit in your chair right now. But none of them explain who you're going to be. See, God doesn't change. He can't change the past. It's happened. But He can change your future. And when we value ourselves based on our past experiences and all the failings that we've had, then what we do is when we look to our future, we say, yeah, no, it's too hard. It's not me. I'm not that person. We haven't put our want on being like Jesus. We put our want on just ourselves and not being the same person that we are, but not in who Jesus is. And when our want is on Jesus, our decisions will be based upon that. So, for example, you might be sitting here right now and you could have just come out of something horrendous last night. If you allow that to define who you are now instead of who Jesus is, then what will happen is you'll just live in that same pattern. What we need to be is a people, a generation that want Jesus and allow our future to determine who we are. allow our future to have the value. Because Jesus says, you know, that he heals the broken. He gives strength to the weak. He gives you a purpose and a plan. He gives you a future with hope. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you an inheritance. I'm sure I preached on this a few weeks ago. He gives you an inheritance, which means you're a sonship or part of his family, a daughter. These are the things when we stand here and want Jesus that we are, not our past. And so when we stand here and we want Jesus, but we look and what does Satan do? Remind us of our past, say you could never get there. It's impossible. Look at who you are. We need to be strong enough to say, you know what? I am not who I am. I am who Jesus is making me. I am becoming like Christ. And every time we make a mistake, it's the grace of God that sustains us, our accountability that keeps us connected, our prayer to God to help us change, and our reading of the Bible to empower us to live a better life that allows us to mature. Life is short, young person, old person, doesn't matter who you are. Life is short. This moment right here is a moment for you to take an opportunity to say, I need to be in Jesus. I need to have a complete 180 change of my directions and motivations towards Christ. And maybe you're in this room and you call yourself a Christian, but you can honestly look back over your life and say, you know what, have I grown? It's not a bad thing to say or ask. We need to do that every day because you know when we stop growing? When we are with Christ and we are like Christ, when does that happen? It's not going to happen here on earth. I'll just give you the tip. So for every single day of your life, every day you draw breath, you need to be drawing yourself closer to Christ. So it doesn't matter who you are in this room, and you may have asked yourself this question, but you need to continue to ask this question. Am I maturing in Christ? Am I being different than I was yesterday, today? And I'm going to be different into my future. So really quickly, with every eye closed, I'm just going to pray for you. That's all I'm going to do. Lord God, I just thank you this morning. For every person in this room, you are no respecter of age. You don't care where we've come from. You don't care what story we have up to this moment. Right here is an opportunity for us to encounter you and put ourselves back into you, into your family. This is an opportunity for us to make a decision to mature in you and grow in you. And I pray this morning, right across this auditorium, that there would be people that would be brave and courageous and make that decision. Whether it's a decision to place themselves in you for the first time, whether it's a decision to rededicate all of themselves over to you, whether it's a decision this morning to stand up and mature in Christ. Whatever it is, whatever decision right across this auditorium this morning that needs to be made, I pray for people to think more of the things of God than the things of man and worry more about that. That they would desire you more than they desire food. They would desire you more than they desire breath. They would desire you more than they desire the good thoughts of other people. And their decisions would be based upon desiring you, not anything else. And I thank you this morning, Lord. Bay City Church and all that you do in this place. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
A great word. Just stay for a moment longer, just with your